today we're talking with Susan DeGrandpre. She's the owner of Collaboration Consulting and the author of Common Sense Workplace Mentoring. Susan, thanks for being on the show.
David, thank you for inviting me. It's great to be here.
Yes, it's great. I've known you for quite a while, and you do some great work, especially in the area of mentoring, so appreciate that.
Funny, that's what I'd love to talk to you about today.
Shocking, as they say. So today we're going to be talking about, obviously, leadership. And we're going to be talking about leadership because, first of all, you're one of the hosts on the Leadership Lab, which is done here as a radio show on News Talk WLOB.
Yes.
So congratulations on your show, by the way.
Well, thanks. It's great fun to do. We've got some valuable stuff to put out there.
No, I think it's great. So we're talking about leadership and some of the mistakes leaders make and some of the things they have to think about, especially when they're dealing with growing their business or operating a business. You have an example that you're going to provide, and we're going to talk a little bit about and the success of it. So first, let's set the stage. Tell me a little bit about this business. Tell me a little about what's going on with it, and then we'll get into how they're succeeding.
Yeah, let me set the stage. First of all, what do you think of my hair?
Well, for those on the radio, it looks great.
Okay, and that is a totally relevant question. I want to talk about Acapello Salons and June Giuliano, the owner, but to set some context, June has been successful in her business for many years, started out as a solo, and as she became more successful, she has added and added to her staff and added locations such that she has 4 locations now, has not only survived the economic downturn, but actually grew during the economic downturn. And when you think about it, getting your hair cut or getting your makeup done is not exactly fundamental to your life. So she just has an amazing way of working. Pulling that back to leadership and what leaders can do right, June's secret is that she uses everyone in her organization to co-lead with her. She's a brilliant businesswoman. She can run an organization very profitably. She has a keen sense of customer service. She really knows how to pay attention to the people in her organization, and she knows that she can't move ahead if she's the only one leading. So she has installed a mentoring system and actually has reorganized her business to accommodate that, such that in every location she has coaches rather than store managers. Her staff are artistic people, and they are drawn to coaching as opposed to being manager sorts. So she's really revamped everything to get the people on her staff to be co-leaders.
Well, it's an interesting topic. I mean, I think one of the things that HR professionals and business leaders listening today would say, wow, having a coach rather than a manager, that's an interesting idea. But what is the practical reasoning behind it? And how does that work any different than really being a manager? Clearly it does. Clearly it works. Explain the difference.
Yeah, what June has done has been to separate the administrative HR kinds of functions from the job performance coaching. There is a wonderful woman named Tina Preble, who is her HR manager and administrative manager, who leads and mentors a team around the administrative work. So people who are highly talented in and attracted to that aspect of the business do that work. The coaches are the supreme stylists, the supreme artists, if you will. The wonderful woman who does my hair is a master colorist, even though she's a little discouraged that my hair has no color, as she puts it. Gray, for those listening. Jen Gammon is her name. Jen coaches everyone in the whole organization on coloring. She's almost a chemist. Each location has a couple of coaches that coach people on whatever skills they need to develop. June hires very talented, very eager, very team-oriented people who are trained to some degree, but they don't know the acapella way of doing things. So they really need to get enculturated. Coaches have actually gone through a boot camp that June ran for a period of about 6 months, where they worked together, they learned together, they had assignments, things to read, things to do, such that by the time they came out of the other end of that program, they really knew how to coach performance. The current iteration of that, now that they're done with their boot camp, is that they kind of do boot camp for the rest of the staff. They are the trainers. I've had the privilege of going to a couple of the workshops that they've put on. I tell you, I could not have designed, as a trainer, as a facilitator, more impactful learnings. They're just phenomenal. They come from the heart. They get people doing activities and doing homework, and it's just amazing to watch. So not only are they coaching their peers, they're actually learning training skills, leadership skills, facilitation skills, design skills. It just magnifies. And every single person there takes responsibility for the success of that business.
We're talking to Susan DeGrandpre, and she is the owner of Collaboration Consulting. And we're talking about, you know, really a good example of how mentoring and leadership works. You know, I'm sure that over the course of June doing this program and this process, she's encountered some challenges. You know, probably people that may not have lived up to the expectation that she thought that would be, or maybe people who didn't embrace this change, this development. You know, you've worked with her, you know about the program. Tell maybe the audience about some of the challenges that get faced when you start bringing these programs forward and how you can effectively make that happen.
The one big takeaway from my working with June, my observing June and other companies as well, is that when there is a good mentoring / co-leadership program in place, people are getting so much attention and so much feedback that if it comes to a point where they're just not working out, it's obvious to everyone. So the pain of separation, if you will, is really minimized. To generalize from June's experience, I would certainly encourage any managers, any leaders, to know their people perfectly. Find out what their skills, talents, aspirations are, what makes their hearts beat faster about the work, and find places for them in the organization so that they can really live up to those dreams that they have. The people who work at June's Acapella Salons have dreams. Then to make sure that coaches or mentors are put in place to help them achieve those dreams. It could be the peer sitting next to them. It could be a more formal leader. Another piece that I would strongly suggest is that managers and leaders should have mentors. June has been so successful because she knows she constantly needs to be learning. So she has used a succession of mentors in the various stages of her business to make sure that she does stay successful and keep growing and keep ahead of the curve. She wins awards all over the country.
You know, it's interesting when you think about a small business, because this is a small business, obviously, growing. Mm-hmm. She's taken the time, right? The time and the investment up front in her people. So I think about organizations that may be a little bigger, or maybe HR leaders that are listening today and saying, that's great. That sounds like a, you know, Ivana, right? Nirvana. It's a wonderful utopia. It's taken the time to make that happen. But I'm on a tight budget here, and I'm on a, you know, I've got these concerns about, you know, we've got no time to do anything, and you know, we have projects to get done and things to make happen. What can you share with those, you know, leaders and dealing with the reality of their situation? To get them to understand that this is still an important part of the retention, part of their growth, part of them, you know, making sure that they keep their people in place and keep the talent within.
Yeah, it's a retention, it's engagement, it's how you move your business forward. I would encourage managers to dust off their metrics. Working with people in such an attentive way should be measurable. Can you really afford to not know your people, and what are the results of that? If you're hastening to get finished with a project, what happens when people are kind of stumbling and bumbling and conflicting through that project such that the results aren't what you want? So I think metrics are very, very important. June certainly is measuring productivity. She's measuring morale. She's measuring customer feedback all the time.
Well, you know, certainly it's a retail business. You're bringing, you know, it's B2C, B to customer.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is that every person that walks in the door matters. And not that that doesn't mean in B2B, it's not that way. It actually is the same. But you tend to find people think of it differently. And in fact, that's the mistake, is they should think of it the same way from the internal customer perspective.
It's all B2C, absolutely. To drift off to another example, I spent many years at L.L. Bean, and that company has to be the supreme example of how absolutely everyone is thinking of external customer. I in the accounting department, or I in the creative department putting catalogs together, am thinking about that external customer. You've got to have that mindset, particularly to remain competitive today.
Well, no, there's no question that when you're thinking about the competitive environment, you know, we're talking about retention, we're talking about the talent war that will be coming. I mean,
sure.
Right now we still know it's an employer's market in most areas, but there is a shift coming. And I think it's important to understand that this is one way to start thinking about succession planning, to start thinking about, you know, how to grow your organization, keep the knowledge within your organization. I mean, agree?
It has everything to do with succession planning and the retention of intellectual capital, if you will, to use those buzz phrases. When you are using a system where everyone is engaged, everyone is focused, A, on the goals of the organization, and secondly, on their own goals, you have at every level of the organization, every position of the organization, a way to keep people moving forward, a way to keep people feeling like this is their business and that they're as invested as the CEO. It's very important.
We're speaking with Susan DeGrandpre, the author of Common Sense Workplace Mentoring. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB, and we will be right back.
Turkeys, turkeys, turkeys. No, I'm not talking about the members of Congress down in Washington, D.C., but rather the large, fresh, range-fed, raised-the-way-God-intended turkeys at Harvest Hill Farms. For the third year, Harvest Hill Farms is donating a Thanksgiving meal to families in need. If you know of a family whose struggles would be helped by having a Thanksgiving dinner, simply email me, ray@wlobradio.com. That's ray@wlobradio.com, and tell me their story. Turkeys are also for sale for your Thanksgiving table. Order your farm fresh, range fed turkeys now by going to harvesthillfarms.com. Don't forget, if you want to donate a turkey or turkeys to families in need, Harvest Hill Farms will help you make that happen by going to harvesthillfarms.com. Harvest Hill Farms, raising turkeys the way God intended, farm fresh and range fed. Go to harvesthillfarms.com for more information. That's harvesthillfarms.com, and order your turkey now.
Running a company can feel like you're surrounded. A key person quits. A big project presents itself. You need good people fast. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Our contract staffing service will fill a position or find the right talent for a short-term project. Hundreds of companies choose us because we deliver people that fit. Career Management Associates, your contract staffing solution. Go to cmacareer.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by cmacareer.com. And we're talking with Susan DeGrandpre. She is the owner of Collaboration Consulting, and as we've said, the author of the book, Common Sense Workplace Mentoring. Susan, again, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you, David.
You know, we talked about the first segment being about some example you provided about June and her organization, and how she really has been able to grow the organization with mentoring and providing really an understanding at every level of the organization of how it works. We talked a little bit at the end of the segment about succession planning. And I think that that's a good place to continue, because succession planning today is really something that's very, very important. And a lot of organizations are not doing a lot of it. Some are, some aren't. But we're hearing it through the our discussions that they say it, but they don't necessarily do it. And I believe part of that is because they don't necessarily have a process or an understanding that it's not as hard as it looks. It may be hard to make the decisions within the process, but not as hard to put together. So, Susan, tell me what you think is a way that an organization can use this process that we're talking about today to really make succession planning work for them.
I will, and I just want to pause for a moment on your point about how organizations aren't doing this. And back to June again, she and I spoke at a conference a number of years ago about succession planning. And I asked for hands. Who in this room thinks succession planning is a good idea? Everyone raised their hands. Okay, who in this room actually has succession planning in place? Nobody. It was stunning. Succession planning is a logical application of mentoring / coaching in the workplace. Oftentimes, when it does happen in organizations, it will happen at the top. Bright talent will be carved out to find out about the entire business and become prepared to take over some of the senior level management positions. I really believe that succession planning has to happen throughout an organization, such that every role has people that are ready to move into it. Part of that has to do with hiring, as you well know. You want to be hiring people who are capable of, you know, bumping up a couple of notches in the not-too-distant future, should there be room for that. You want to be hiring people who are not only good at their technical skills, but they're real creative thinkers. They can problem solve and anticipate changes that need to happen. Because filling a slot 5 years from now, thinking of grooming someone for that, it's not going to be that same position. Not at all.
Well, you know, it's interesting. When we're talking about succession planning, people think that sometimes that's just about internal talent. But it's also about external talent,
sure,
as well. And providing the fact that you want to keep the intellectual knowledge, yes, but it's always good to bring in new ideas from the outside, right? And so it's really looking at your overall talent base and saying, yes, this fits exactly as we expect and plan. But, you know, we may have a need based on future plans to bring in some outside talent as well. And so I think mentoring allows that to work both ways.
Absolutely. And you've mentioned the word plan a few times. Plan is the key. You don't want to be simply promoting internal people by default. You don't want to be hiring external people by default. There needs to be that plan in place that talks about what you think is going to be needed in the future and how you can get there. So definitely it's a mix of internal and external. And sure, mentoring works with both populations.
You know, it's interesting when we do talk to individuals about succession planning, one of the things that we hear is, well, we've done that in the past, but kind of sat on the shelf, right? It kind of didn't really happen. And I think what people have to realize, and I'm sure you would agree, is that succession planning is ongoing. It's not just you make a plan, it sits on a shelf. It's not quite that program. It's an ever-evolving process.
Absolutely.
And you have to, right, come back to it. You have to keep working on it.
You have to do it. It's a way of doing business. It's not a document that sits on a shelf. You know, there are legal ramifications that need to be in the document. The more important part is that you have to actually be thinking that way. Everyone has to be identifying talent internally, externally. Everyone has to be identifying needs. I want to give you one example, another small business called Tidestone Solutions. Sandy Wyman is the president. Sandy, again, is a very strong leader business-wise, people-wise. She is in the software technology business, and they have to run so fast to even stand still. And in fact, they're not standing still, they're moving ahead. She is constantly identifying and having her employees identify what lies ahead, what's it going to take to continue to expand our business, to continue to serve our customers technologically and service-wise, because things do change so quickly. She is constantly mentoring people. She has people constantly mentoring each other. And she fills the needs by doing succession planning. She'll identify someone who has skills maybe in the sales area, and, well, how can we develop that individual to meet this future need of a particular kind of sales or service or any particular aspect? She definitely has a team environment. The whole team is working towards the future. The team moves and changes itself to fill the new roles, which again happen very, very quickly. So it's a real succession planning as a way of daily doing business.
We're speaking with Susan de Grandpre, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour. You know, Susan, we've been talking about succession planning, but, you know, mentoring and leadership challenges don't just happen in the succession planning area. They certainly don't just happen when organizations are growing. Sometimes they happen when organizations have to contract. You know, one of the things that is always difficult for an organization is to understand that they have to make decisions sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
They have to look at their organization saying what's working, what's not working. And this is a process that mentoring really works well in, trying to understand how to help the, what we call the survivors, the people who are actually staying in the organization and help them in it. So maybe take a minute and explain, you know, unfortunately, if somebody has to leave, maybe it's one, maybe it's a RIF, maybe whatever it is, and that's been taken care of. Tell the audience how you see that all fitting in with the people who are still there and making it work.
Yeah, they need reassurance that it's not going to happen to them, or at least in the foreseeable future. Environments where either through performance issues or through just needing to downsize, people who are left get very, very nervous about their own positions. Mentoring can definitely be a support, is a wonderful support there to help people understand how they're valuable, how they can make themselves more valuable, how they can, I'll say it again, take co-leadership responsibility for pushing the organization forward. Reassurance is needed at that point in time. In my experience, peer mentoring has been very helpful in those times, with people having some formal accountability, if you will, for helping each other through those tough spots.
You know, you mentioned co-managing, co-coaching.
Yeah, co-mentoring,
co-mentoring.
Sure.
Somebody might say, well, wait a minute. I really think of a mentor as somebody who's an individual who just helps me, almost like a one-on-one type situation. So explain that a little, because I think it's important that people understand the difference.
Sure. Mentoring can be one-on-one, where somebody is more expert in a particular area or knows something more than someone else, and they help them. More often than not, the person who is in the formal mentee position knows a thing or two as well. So what happens in the ideal, and I see it happening quite often, is that the formal mentor will identify in the mentee some strengths that they would like to pick up on. I worked with a couple of people at Unum, in fact, who found that wonderful match of skills. A very experienced manager was asked to hire a manager who was new to the company. She had been at Unum forever. She realized that he had much more comfort with that level of people management. So they contracted with each other to do that co-mentoring. Co-leading, in the formal sense, means that a leader has to know that they don't have all the answers. They've hired good, talented people. Let's use them to help with that leadership process. The leader is not the big boss from the, you know, the old management models. The leader is a facilitator to get everyone going in that direction. And mentoring can be with groups as well. It's very possible to mentor a group as long as people are getting individual attention. And people within that group can mentor each other. I'm a great proponent of peers working with each other in such a way. Everyone brings different things to the workplace, different strengths, different areas where they can use more development. Everybody's got something to offer.
So I'm a CFO. I'm a HR business partner, and I'm someone who has a budget and has to think about, you know, how this impacts my organization. Are there cost savings with doing this process? Is there a way, as you said, to quantify in terms of measurable? Is it measurable on the dollar side, which is all important today in today's environment?
It is. Productivity curves are a typical measurement that people who are getting mentored tend to learn much faster than people who are not being mentored. It's just-in-time learning. So even though typical classroom training is still a useful tool for setting a baseline, people are not necessarily applying what they're learning right away. They kind of lose it when they get back to the job. So it's all applied. So that's another way of measuring how much effort and time in quote training, if you will, is being invested here. And if you're using in-house resources, people who are sitting next to each other, that's really cheap. They're already there. They're probably, because people just by nature want to be helpful to each other, probably already spending time helping the person sitting next to them. So why not formalize that a little bit and not have to use so many outside resources? It's much less expensive. It is an investment. So the upfront time money is a little bit more than it is later on. And, of course, that's all variable depending on what the content of that mentoring is. But eventually that person who is being mentored comes up to speed and beyond fairly quickly. Or, as we were saying, gets opted out fairly quickly, so you're not spinning your wheels and pulling your hair out trying to work with somebody who just isn't getting it for whatever reason. You know that.
I was just going to say, I think it's important to understand that with any program, with anything you put in place, there are going to be times that it doesn't work for an individual person or a group.
Sure.
And so, you know, you have to look at that and say, okay, you know, have we given it the best shot? Is this individual someone who wants to grow, who wants to learn, who wants to do that or not? And then how does that affect the organization in terms of that? You know, whether it's that they have to be managed out of the process or whether they have to be taught in a different way. Maybe they learn in a different capacity, a different way. Or maybe it wasn't the right match, because that does happen.
Absolutely, absolutely. And again, you catch that a lot sooner. One of the beauties of mentoring is that a really good mentor knows how to match the learner's styles of learning. So there is expected to be some flex in there. If someone learns one way, let's try to make the learning happen such that they're really going to be catching on fast.
We're talking with Susan DeGrandpre, and she is the owner of Collaboration Consulting. And certainly if somebody wants to get a hold of you, Susan, because I think you've done a great job explaining exactly what it is that can be very effective for an organization in terms of mentoring and leadership development, what's the website they should go to?
Thanks, David. They can get a hold of me at susan@collaborationconsulting.biz, and the website is www.collaborationconsulting.biz.
And certainly anybody after the show can go to the HRPowerHour.com and see, obviously, Susan's information and bio and click directly to her links. This has been a great discussion about mentoring and leadership. And Susan, I want to thank you for being on the show today.
Well, thank you, David. It was a lot of fun. Great to see you.
It's great to see you as well. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on Newstalk WLOB. And now your HR Tip of the Week. I'm proud to announce that the HR Certification Institute, or HRCI as it's known, has launched two new credentials. The first is the Human Resource Business Professional, HRBP, and Human Resource Management Professional, HRMP, both of which are geared towards HR professionals principally practicing outside of the United States. These credentials were developed to validate core HR knowledge and skills in addition to demonstrating mastery of generally accepted HR principles, independent of geographic region. HRCI has successfully conducted pilot examinations for these new certifications in nearly 70 locations across 50 countries. The HRMP is considered a more strategic credential, while the HRBP is more operational in nature. And that's your HR Tip of the Week. Thank you for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 1310 a.m. or streaming live on WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.